Chapter 43. 10 miles off Fire Island, a barrier beach between Long Island and the Atlantic Ocean, 50 miles from New York, three vessels converged. The light of day started to slip over the western horizon, and stars took shape in the east. Atlantic Ocean swells were bunching up on the shallow continental shelf. Neither captain of the larger vessels, a 4,000-ton steam freighter with a tall funnel and two king posts, and an ocean-going tugboat hipped up to a 3-track railcar barge, was pleased with the prospect of getting close enough to transfer cargo in such choppy seas, particularly with the wind shifting fitfully from sea to shore. When they saw that the third vessel, a broad-beamed little catboat powered only by sail, was steered by a petite red-headed girl, they began snarling at their helmsman. It looked like the rendezvous would end before it started. Then the girl took advantage of a shifty gust to bring her craft about so smartly that the steamer's mate said, "She's a seaman." And Eyes O'Shea said to the tugboat captain, "Don't lose your nerve. We can always throw you overboard and run the boat ourselves." He spotted Rafe Engels waving from the steamer's bridge wing. Rafe Engels was a gunrunner wanted by the British Special Irish Branch for arming rebels of the Irish Republican Brotherhood and by the Tsar's secret police for supplying Russian revolutionists. O'Shea had first met him on the Wilhelm der Grosse. They had danced carefully around each other, and again on the Lusitania, probing warily at the kindred spirit they each sensed behind the other's elaborate disguise. There were differences. The gunrunner, always on the rebels' side, was an idealist. The spy was not. But over the years they had worked out several trades. This exchange of torpedoes for a submarine would be their biggest. "Where's the Holland?" O'Shea called across the water.
"Under you."
O'Shea peered into the waves. The water started bubbling like a boiling pot. Something dark and stealthy took shape under the bubbles. A round turret of armor steel emerged from the white froth, and then, quite suddenly, a glistening hull parted the sea. It was 100 feet long and menacing as a reef. A hinged cover opened on top of the turret. A bearded man thrust his head and shoulders into the air, looked around, and climbed out. He was Hunt Hatch, at one time the Holland Company's chief trials captain, now on the run from Special Irish Branch. His crew followed him out one after another until 5 Republican Brotherhood fighters who had pledged their lives to win home rule for Ireland were standing on the deck, blinking in the light and breathing deeply of the air.
"Treat them well," Engels had demanded as they clasped hands, cementing their deal. "They're brave men."
"Like my own family," O'Shea had promised. All had served as Royal Navy submariners. All had ended up in British prisons. All hated England. They dreamed, O'Shea knew, that when the Americans discovered that the submarine and its electric torpedoes were from England, it would appear that England had instigated an attack to cripple American battleship production. They dreamed that when war engulfed Europe, angry Americans would not side with England. Then Germany would defeat England, and Ireland would be free. A lovely dream, thought the spy. It would serve no one better than Eyes O'Shea.
"There is your submarine torpedo boat," Engels called from across it. "Where are my Wheeler torpedoes?"
Eyes O'Shea pointed at the sailboat. Engels bowed.
"I see the fair Catherine." "Hello, my beauty," he hailed through cupped hands. "I did not recognize you out of your sumptuous gowns. But I see no torpedoes."
"Under her," said O'Shea. 4-wheeler Mark 14s. 2 for you, 2 for me." Engel gestured. The steamer's seaman swung a cargo boom out from her king post.
"Come alongside, Catherine. I'll take 2 torpedoes. And maybe you too, if no one is looking."
As Catherine effected the difficult maneuver and Engel's crew snaked the torpedoes out of the catboat, they heard a rumble like distant thunder. O'Shea watched the submarine's crew coolly assess what the noise really meant and the distance from which it was coming.
"U.S. Navy's Sandy Hook test range," he called down to them. "Don't worry. It's far away. 60,000 yards, Hunt Hatch called back, and a man added, 10 inchers, and some 12s. O'Shea nodded his satisfaction. The Irish rebels who would crew his submarine knew their business. It may not look like a fair trade, the submarine being 6 or 7 times longer than the torpedoes and capable of independent action. But the Holland, though considerably elongated and modified by the English from its original design, was fully 5 years old and outstripped by rapid advances in underwater warfare. The Mark 14s were Ron Wheeler's latest. Each had what he wanted. Engels was steaming away with 2 of the most advanced torpedoes in the world to sell to the highest bidder, and the Holland and the 2 torpedoes that the tug and barge crews were wrestling out of the sailboat and into the submarine made a deadly combination. The Brooklyn Navy Yard would never know what hit it.